You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
At 7 minutes past 10, we are in the middle hour, and what we're going to do in this hour is discuss all things Zimbabwe. So much has happened over the past few weeks. It wasn't that long ago where suddenly we saw General Chiwenga going on national television, basically giving people a warning to say, if you do not stop what you're doing, we might be forced to intervene. And it seemed, depending on how you look at it, that his bluff was called, and intervene they did. The minute we saw the trucks, army trucks going onto the streets of Harare, initially people saying it was four or five, having a sense that it actually might not be as some think it was. But in the end, what was achieved was the resignation of Robert Mugabe. And what we're seeing now is an era of Emmerson Mnangagwa as president of Zimbabwe. Just over the past days, the big debate has been around his cabinet and the fact that initially his cabinet did not in any way indicate change, but rather it was a bit of a balance. And some people asking the question, is this the change that we supposedly are going through in Zimbabwe? And there were some changes to the cabinet itself. But the big question really has to be whether what we are seeing in Zimbabwe in any way represents change. If an Emmerson Mnangagwa presidency or the cabinet members of his in any way represent a future for Zimbabwe. During his inauguration address, there were a number of statements that on the surface looked like a huge policy change and a reaching out the hand to those who had previously, of course, imposed sanctions. And there is also the debate around the influence of the Chinese somewhere in the background. Lots to talk about. And in unpacking this, I'm joined in studio by researcher at Southern Africa Liaison Office, Tawanda Sachikonye, who is also a PhD candidate at UCT. My brother, thank you very much for making time to speak to us.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased and honored to be on the show. Thank you.
Appreciate it. And we're also joined on the line, Zimbabwean presidential candidate, Dr. Nkosana Moyo. It's been a while, Mukoma. I hope you're well. Dr. Moyo.
Yes, I'm here. I can hear you.
I hope you are well in that.
I am fine, thank you.
All right. What we are going to do, and I'm going to, you know, be in between Dr. Moyo and Tawanda, but I think we need to give the elders a chance to speak first. There, Tawanda, Dr. Moyo,
so you're sticking to tradition. I see.
I am. Dr. Moyo, we are seeing interesting times, interesting developments in Zimbabwe right now. We have not spoken since the changes that took place. What do you make of where Zimbabwe is right now?
I think where Zimbabwe is very interesting, and for us, there are lessons to be drawn, and I think the starting point should not even be a conversation about the cabinet or the makeup of the cabinet. The starting point should be the actions of the army and whether we as the citizens really understood what should have happened and what was justified and what was not justified. That's where I would like to start. Mm-hmm. So I think the army arguably could say that constitutionally they've got an obligation to protect the nation. I think no one would argue with that. But where we started from was an infighting issue within a particular political party, which happened to be a ruling party at the time. So I think the army in that circumstance should have told the government to get its act together. But if it were a genuine national army and not an appendage to a ruling party, that's where they would have stopped. They would not have involved themselves in who should actually take over from the incumbent at the time. They should have simply said to the party, you are now putting the security of the state at risk, and we would like you to get your act together sort yourselves out in terms of all this infighting. And when that is done, we will do what we should do, go back to the barracks. But what we saw was that the army overreached and gave virtually instructions to the ruling party as to how it should run its affairs. So that's the starting point. I think we need to stop right there and examine, for the sake of lessons learned, whether this is appropriate behavior for an army.
Dr. Nkosana Moyo is Zimbabwean presidential candidate from the Alliance for People's Agenda. On that, the one, what I saw looking at developments in Zimbabwe was people celebrating what the army was doing, because there was this need for change. There was this constant call for change. But the point that Dr. Moyo is making is correct, in that the army in its action, and I kept on saying this to a number of my Zimbabwean friends, saying, but what's happening right now actually has got nothing to do with you as Zimbabweans, but I view it as issues within ZANU played out and instructed via Chiwenga and others.
Definitely, you're right to say that. And I think the worry is that people have played a wait-and-see approach, and you could see it was very tentative. On one hand, people were very happy that, you know, the Mugabe era is over. It's gone, that Mugabe has been removed from power. But at the same time, there was this wait-and-see from the opposition, from civil society, and from us Zimbabweans, waiting to see what happens. And I think in that wait and see, you could see the nervousness of what is going to come next and uncertainty. And that has continued with the role of the army. So I think what Dr. Nkosana Moyo has said is very pertinent, in that will the army continue to be viewed and present itself as a kind of extension of the ZANU-PF, the Liberation Movement Party? Or will the army start to more side with the people and get its legitimacy from its basis and grounded human security of all Zimbabweans, not just from its liberation credentials and from its association with the party that has been in power for quite a long time in Zimbabwe? So there is this sense of frustration, especially now when you see a cabinet that has army officials having key ministerial posts, land affairs and agriculture and foreign affairs, and to actually have people who still, it's not even clear whether they have, you know, separated from their military background and they are now kind of, you know, civilian bureaucrats, or they still very much with the military. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty and a nervousness around that and what that means for Zimbabwe going forward.
Tawanda Sachikonye is researcher at the Southern African Liaison Office with us in studio. Also, Dr. Nkosana Moyo, a Zimbabwean presidential candidate. Have you been following the developments in Zimbabwe, or you are a Zimbabwean residing in South Africa? What do you make of the starting point of the intervention of the army, but also where the situation is right now in your country? Be part of the conversation. 021-446-0567, 011-883-0702. You can SMS 31567 or 31702. We'll continue after the break.
702 and Cape Talk, your number one news and talk station.
At 18 minutes past 10, we're talking all things Zimbabwe. You know, the dust has settled. Has the dust settled in Zimbabwe? What is the future of the country? Lots of developments right now. In conversation with Tawanda Sachikonye, who's a researcher at the Southern African Liaison Office, who's also a PhD candidate. Dr. Nkosana Moyo is Zimbabwean presidential candidate. We take your calls, look at your SMSs and your tweets. Sibu Siso is in Yeovil. Thanks for joining the conversation, Sibu Siso.
Yes, man. You see, the gentleman on the line there, Dr. Nkosana Moyo, we see him as our ideal president to take over after this incident that happened. We did celebrate the fall of Mugabe, but we didn't expect anything from Emmerson Mnangagwa. We see this guy as our president, but his campaign is pathetic, you know. We follow him on Facebook, we follow him on Twitter. We try to join his organization. He doesn't respond as it is. We don't know how to join it. We post messages, he doesn't respond, you know. The campaign is just pathetic, you know. If he could do something better, you know.
All right, Sibusiso in Yeovil. We'll get Dr. Moyo to respond there. Victor in Dlamini. In Kailami, rather. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Victor. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Kokis. How are you, man?
I am fine, brother. Go ahead.
But I think the one thing that we need, the first thing that we need to accept in Zimbabwe is that a coup took place. I mean, a coup took place. That's the first thing. And the second thing that we need to accept as well is that Zimbabwe is under military rule right now as we speak. Right. And the third thing that we need to understand, I was born in Zimbabwe myself, but I live here in South Africa. Sometimes you question this education that we say we have in Zimbabwe. The people of Zimbabwe, what were we celebrating? Nothing. You know, I always say, if you find yourself obsessed by a problem, that problem becomes God to you. And what you give attention is going to give you direction. People were obsessed by Mugabe, and by me, Mugabe is out. Mugabe gave them the direction to another beginning of another 37 years. There's no change in Zimbabwe. You know, actually, I always explain this in terms of the Bible and say, when the Israelites were out of Egypt, there was no salvation. But when they got to the Red Sea, then the power of the Egyptians completely was taken out. That's what we need in Zimbabwe, as long as we still have another ZANU-PF. But the problem now is not even ZANU-PF. We are under military rule as we speak. But then the other point that I want to raise as well is the deep problem of Zimbabwe is tribalism. I'm sitting in South Africa more comfortable than being in my own country. Why? Because I'm from the wrong tribe. And now the obsession of the other faction was to fight Jonathan Moore. And we find ourselves in this situation right now. If it's going to be a Moses who's going to take us to the promised land, we need people that are with someone who's going to stand up and unite all of us and accept and stand up and say, all the genocide that happened in Zimbabwe, we accept it was not a mistake, it was crime. Then let's all move forward. Let's forgive and repent and move all of us together with one heart. But I can tell you, the regime that we have right now, we still have another group of people that are even worse than Mugabe. To me, maybe we're better off, I mean, with Mugabe. But I want to say to people of Zimbabwe, let's go back to the streets again and see whether the same army is going to entertain us now. But I can tell you at this point in time, they will not entertain us because they used us so that the world won't going to see that it's a coup. It was a coup. There's nothing to celebrate at all. Where we are right now, we are in a worse off situation. That's my contribution.
Victor in Kyalami. Dr. Moyo, there was a question about your campaign, but I wanted to put this question to you specifically in drawing from what Victor had said and also the point that you had raised earlier about the role of the army. The precedent that is set, and maybe to answer Victor's question of if Zimbabweans today or in the next few months decide that they're not happy with what is happening, they're not happy with the moves that Emmerson Mnangagwa and his candidate make, would the army be as conciliatory and allowing citizens to celebrate with them as we saw on that one Saturday, that joyous day, if you feel that way, in Harare?
I suppose the proper answer from, given that we've got an academic researcher on the debate, the proper answer would have to be, we do not know. But I think we can all of us probably agree that is that highly unlikely. In fact, what the army is likely to do is to throw at us the same security of the state to clamp down on citizens protesting in that event. That's what is likely to happen.
All right. And how do you view it, Tawan? I mean, there is this precedent or even this discussion where because people are happy that Mugabe is gone, because Zimbabweans were able to, on that particular day, on that particular Saturday, in Harare, in Bulawayo, in many different parts of the country, were able to go to the streets without the wrath of the police or even the army as it has been used previously, the sense that some have is there is change, there is now freedom, but is that real? Would the army allow such protests to happen in the future should they disagree with the Mnangagwa administration?
That's a very interesting and very difficult question. As Dr. Nkosana has said, that it's very hard to see what the outcome of that will be. But just coming back to some things, I think from the callers, I could sense that there's a lot of frustration and anger as well, because I think what a lot of Zimbabweans are trying to ascertain is to what degree do they have ownership of the process of the process or processes that are currently going on in Zimbabwe right now. And I think this issue of ownership and participation, active participation, is a huge question going forward. How are Zimbabweans going to then consolidate, the small bit of freedom they've already felt, and how they voice their concerns already on social media? You saw interviews that were flashed across, news centers all across the world. People are happy, overjoyed, and expressing their views about what they think about Zimbabwe going forward. How is that going to be then consolidated, right? People are very concerned about, are there avenues then for ordinary Zimbabweans to speak out? You know, and it's right to think, if we want to go out on the streets and say, listen, we're not happy about this and this, is that going to be possible? And the fact that we are worried about that shows that people, there's that trust between the government and the security sector is still not yet there. Even though this great thing happened where there was this sense of unity for a moment, you know, everyone was united with one objective, you know, the removal of Mugabe. But after that, there seems to be, you know, it's kind of getting back to the stage where people are still looking at each other with somewhat, with suspicion and a sense of nervousness, right? And then also, I think what's also very important is that, you know, politics is the art of the possible.
Right.
You know, this is a famous saying that politics students are taught. It's that ultimately, it's a cynical view, but you know, politics is the art of the possible. And, you know, President Mnangagwa is someone who has a particular context, right? He is a ZANU-PF man, a stalwart of ZANU-PF, in fact. He is now the president of Zimbabwe through ZANU-PF, ZANU-PF leader. And they have an election to win. I mean, elections are going to take place next year, right? And you have just lost this figurehead that was, you know, his image, the party was made in his image, and he's gone. You've lost that person. So now is the time to consolidate. If your party is to survive, the instinct is to consolidate, and regenerate so that you can go forward. Otherwise, it could be the end of ZANU-PF. So, I mean, I think ZANU-PF has made very smart, pragmatic decisions. And President Mnangagwa, being in that position, has done what any good politician would do, to recognize the allies who helped him to get into power. I mean, this could have gone horribly wrong. People could have been, if they'd not done it correctly, you know, lives were on the line. And you have to acknowledge your allies, especially when there was so much risk involved. So hence, the cabinet shows that appreciation he has for the people who helped him to get into power. So I think we can't remove President Mnangagwa from a particular context that, you know, he is the leader of ZANU-PF. ZANU-PF is a party that is trying to contest elections. They do have a vision. You know, they do have an economic vision for the country. They probably have a long-term view of what they want to do. And it looks like they're going full steam ahead with doing this. Mm-hmm. The problem is, ZANU-PF does not have all the solutions to the problem, right? The problems in Zimbabwe are manifold, and they're difficult for any one actor, primarily ZANU-PF, and those in power to handle. It needs the input of civil society. It needs the input of academia, the input of activists, ordinary Zimbabweans.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Dr. Moyo, we will get into deeper detail around your candidacy and what you offer, but to allow you to respond to the question that was put earlier about your visibility. And I must say, I saw a number of people during this whole period of change in Zimbabwe, and especially on that particular day that we speak of the protest, on the same stage where your Chinamasas and Mujuru and Mawarire and Lumumba, and where was Dr. Nkosana Moyo? People asking, where was your voice in the middle of everything?
Well, so that's a very actually interesting starting point. So we, as APA, actually say to our members, they were free to participate in what was going on, but we're very clear from the beginning that the activities taking place were ZANU activities. The infighting was a ZANU issue, and that we had no business participating in the factional fighting of ZANU. That's why we were not there. And we were very cautious because we understood what was going on from the very beginning. And hence our position. You will also notice that we've only issued during this period a couple of statements which are very carefully choreographed, if you like, crafted.
Yeah.
Because we raise the question of Zimbabweans need to ask themselves how we got to be where we are today. Why are these things happening? And when you ask yourself that question and identify properly how we got to be where we are, then it allows you to analyze the people who are offering themselves to be the leaders of our nation, whether in fact they've got attributes and characteristics that are different from those that have brought us to where we are. So we were cautious because we're being quite analytical in terms of what was going on. We were not carried away by the euphoria that change, any change is good change, because we understood that was not correct. And I think for us as a nation, rather than all the protestations that we can indulge in, we need to take responsibility, because opposition parties have tended to take the view that any change is good change. And we've kept saying that is not good enough. We are capable of both change and good change, mm-hmm. as opposed to simply saying any change is good change. The euphoria of replacing Mugabe with the same party and the people from the same administration comes from this thinking which says any change is good change. And we've been very consistent that that cannot be the case. So I just would like people to really understand, but also to take ownership of this issue. We are responsible. You know, this makes you begin to understand the adage that people tend to get the leadership they deserve. The gentleman who criticized my campaign, you see, again, there is no ownership taken. If he believes that I'm the right leader, what is he doing to go out? Why is he not out there campaigning for me? Why is he waiting for me to campaign? The country is not my country. It's his country too.
Let's pause there.
Our attitude is that somebody else must do it, and we don't take ownership. And that's why our country is going to continue to have problems.
Let's pause there for Dr. Moyo. A number of your calls and your SMSs that we will take, 021-446-0567 or 011-883-0702. Tawanda Sachikonye is with us, as well as Dr. Nkosana Moyo.
702 and Cape Talk.
We take your calls, look at your SMSs and your tweets as we continue our conversation with Tawanda Sachikonye, researcher at the Southern African Liaison Office. He's also a PhD candidate. And Dr. Nkosana Moyo, he is a Zimbabwean presidential candidate. We have spent a bit of time in making sense of what happened, the role of the army, and also the precedent that it has set or could have set, depending on what happens moving forward. Moving on, Mnangagwa is inaugurated. He made certain statements on the day of his inauguration. A lot of them indicate a possible shift in policy, or even an immediate shift in policy. He touched on plans for the economy. He touched on issues of land. What do you make of the posturing, if I could call it that, Tawanda, of President Emmerson Mnangagwa?
Like I said, there is a plan. You know, ZANU-PF is a party with a plan, and you can see that, for example, now. I think what I found interesting, rather, is how when there was this criticism of his cabinet, he kind of responded. Yes, it was a cosmetic response. I mean, obviously, it wasn't a huge fundamental shift in how you pick people for governance, and he didn't completely redo the cabinet, but he did respond to that. And I think there's something that's very interesting about that. And he said that the statement was that this is in line with the Constitution and also to take consideration of gender as well. So I found that very, very interesting, that the use of terms like constitutionalism, gender, and terms of governance, I found that fascinating. And then there are also advisories that have been established, right, which I think are very important to note. One is the National Peace and Reconciliation advisory to the president, and the other was the disabilities one. And I think we have to take the challenge. If those avenues are there, right, if there is an advisor to the president who is dedicated to issues of peace and reconciliation, then we have to take them up on that seriously. and make sure that civil society, Zimbabweans, everyone is out there saying, okay, what is the plan then of peace and reconciliation? Because Zimbabwe is definitely a country that needs to do peace and a lot of reconciliation. A lot of state-sanctioned violence has happened from colonial times up to recent times as well. And so this is a very important advisory that's been there. Is there commitment to it from the presidency? That's what we have to try and see, right? Same with the disabilities issue. And then I read a very interesting interview. It was quite fascinating for me because it was Minister Ambassador Chris Mchangwa. And he was talking about how, you know, as information minister, he wants to reverse the laws called IPA and POSA.
Yeah.
I'll just read them out in full. The Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act and the Public Order and Security Act. So IPA is the Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act, and POSA is the Public Order and Security Act. And these were in the past used, obviously, to
suppress
freedom of expression and to, you know, target the press and so forth. And now he's talking this language of, you know, I have a background as a journalist, and, you know, I respect what journalists do, and I have empathy with your work. And he talks about how he's going to look at the Constitution in order to see how they can apply the Constitution to remove these laws. And if you're serious about this, let's take them up on that, right? You know, so I'm just saying there are things that have been said by the presidency, and there are avenues then for us to, you know, let's see what can come out of that to our advantage as Zimbabwe, you know, to create freedom of expression and to also, you know, address issues around peace and reconciliation.
Dr. Nkosana Moyo with us still. Dr. Moyo, from inauguration and any other moves and statements that have been made by President Mnangagwa and his cabinet, I wonder, touching on a couple of issues. But in some of our previous conversations, you have been very critical around African presidents and leaders' understanding of economics and policy and their implementation. In terms of turning the economy around in Zimbabwe, what do you make of what has been said thus far by President Mnangagwa?
Yes, I would tend to agree with Tawanda that on the basis of what has been said, I think there is very little to criticize. But clearly, when you then look at the makeup of the cabinet, I think you begin to see a divergence between what you've called posturing and the unfolding of actions that are being taken, although it's a very early stage. So I think we'd have to say, he has not said anything wrong. He said all of the right things. But as we begin to see the implementation, starting with the composition of the cabinet, do we get a sense that there is alignment between what is being said and what is going to be done? I think a lot of people are beginning to say, this looks strange. And I would like to challenge Tawanda on one thing on in terms of what he said. You know, President Mnangagwa is a lawyer. And Zimbabwe has got an administration with a secretary to cabinet who has been there for years, who knows exactly what the Constitution says. I think it is surprising that the president could go and appoint a cabinet which contravened constitutional provisions in terms of how many non-parliamentarians he could put in there. For him to have to literally, within the first 48 hours, he have to reverse that, it's worrisome in terms of just the due diligence with which his new administration is going to approach its work. Secondly, he's made a statement about, in fact, starting with the army. So the army went out and said they are rooting out corrupt people within the system. President Mnangagwa, at his inauguration, said the same thing about corruption. I am sorry, I'm going to have to put this out there in the open. Somebody like Obet Mpofu does not belong in an administration where you are beginning to signal that there is zero tolerance for corruption. So I think there are some big indications of lack of alignment between statements made and actions taken. So I think there are signs that should worry us as citizens. But having said that, one of the big takeaways, and I think positives from what the president said, is that the elections are going to be held as scheduled. And I think we as Zimbabweans should mobilize to make sure that our voice is heard when these elections come and we participate in a manner that begins to send a signal, the same way that we were used to send a signal to the international community that President Mugabe was not wanted anymore. Let us turn up and do what is necessary to signal that what we want is whatever it is that we choose to vote for. The opportunity is coming down the line, and he's committed to that. Let's hold him at his word and see what he does, and then take ownership of what we do. Let's be accountable for what we do when those elections are held.
In staying with you, Dr. Moyo, and you've touched on it, and you made reference to it earlier when the caller was critical of your presidential campaign. But your call to action to Zimbabweans to say, don't wait for Nkosana Moyo, don't wait for Joyce Mujuru, what about you and what are you doing? And I don't think it's necessarily a Zimbabwean issue, but you have people who look to the savior, and in this case possibly Nkosana Moyo, come and save us from the situation that we find ourselves in. I wanted you to just speak a bit more on that.
Yeah, I think there is nothing wrong with the population at large saying Nkosana or whoever else come and save us from the situation we are in. What is wrong, however, is that citizenry as a whole then does not take responsibility for what they have to do to make that happen. Nkosana Moyo is not going to vote for himself. And if he should, but when he does, that is not enough to get him elected. Is what the citizenry as a whole take ownership of getting done. That is missing with our society. People sit back, they agitate, they protest, but they don't turn that into a positive energy of, I am going to take this upon myself to convince everybody I know in my circles to make sure that they go register and vote. Now, incidentally, the gentleman raised the issue of joining a party. In any country you care to look at, the number of voters is always much, much bigger than the number of people who belong to a political party. So the issue is not to join APA. The issue is to mobilize Zimbabweans for them to be prepared to vote and for them to choose, even if they were to choose a candidate who is not Nkosana. To be honest with you, I would be a satisfied Zimbabwean if Zimbabweans turned out in their numbers and whoever ended up being elected was elected because Zimbabweans had moved and taken a positive action to get something done. If it was not Nkosana, so be it. That is democracy. But I think when people complain and do nothing, that is completely unacceptable. And then we end up with the leaders we deserve.
Dr. Nkosana Moyo is with us. We'll take more of your calls on 021-446-0567 and 011-883-0702. Also, a researcher at the Southern African Liaison Office, Tawanda Sachikonye. A big issue, and I'm going to put this question to both our guests, a big issue that's also being discussed right now, I see a number of human rights groups urging President Mnangagwa to confront the question of Gugurahundi massacre.